Indie Media is DIY news. It is about people reporting their own news directly without the need for reporters, bypassing the corporate media.
There are 100 Indie Media or IMC websites worldwide providing grassroots reports of struggles, campaigns and protests.
There are so many people here who are saying no to the government today, and this is democracy in action.
Everybody's here. Everybody in the country seems to be here. They're just coming from all over the place. The banners are showing all the tiny, tiny little pockets of the country. Everybody has come down here.
The project started 3 years ago, covering the massive Seattle protests, which shut down the World Trade Organization summit.
Uncensored and unsponsored, IMC sites can be updated anywhere, anytime, by anyone.
The open to all nature of these sites means that you can publish your own reports about your own issues and at the same time connect to a global network of grassroots news.
What you are about to hear are some highlights
from these global websites and from our very own UK IMC Wire. For more information or to get the news direct from the streets, check out www.indiemedia.org.uk.
Is waking outside my window. Bella ciao, bella ciao, bella ciao, ciao, ciao. Drags my senses into the sunlight, for there are things that I must do. Wish me luck now, I have to leave you. Bella ciao, bella ciao, bella ciao, ciao, ciao. With my friends now, up to the city, we're gonna shake the gates of hell.
It was May Day all over the world. And what does May Day mean? May Day means protest and Beltane. So in the run-up to the May Day riots, we had the global anniversary of 10 years of critical mass. Hooray! And we've got a story from that.
Up to 1,500 people participated in the celebrations of the 10th anniversary of Critical Mass in London, which included a samba band on wheels, three mobile sound systems, live music, and lots of good humour and a carnival atmosphere. Traffic was brought to a halt all over central London for over 3 hours, where the streets temporarily became open spaces for people to use and enjoy without the hegemony of the car culture. Happy birthday, Critical Mass, and we look forward to 10 more years.
Happy birthday to you.
Dublin Critical Mass success, which was posted by Indie Travelling Circus Friday, April 30th. 100 people left the meet-up point at around 6 p.m. to take a tour around the main areas of central Dublin, around the castle, up and down O'Connell Street, and some continuing to Mountjoy Prison, where two UK protesters were held. A noisy and celebratory protest, the mass grew as it passed through the streets, with more and more people joining in along the way. There must have been at least 400 to 500, probably more towards the end.
And May Day 2004, a weekend of protests around the world. In Europe, the focal points of protest and mobilisation have been three main cities of three different countries. Here in the UK, there were innovative protests in many cities on Saturday the 1st. May Day in Finland, Scotland, Netherlands, Italy, France, Ireland, Spain and elsewhere across Europe. In the world, South Korea, Argentina, Kyoto, the list is long, long and varied. Remember May Day, the global holiday of workers, dear to anarchists and socialists worldwide, born in America and mummified in Russia and China, fallen in neglect in Europe as neoliberalism mounted and many unions sold out. Well, In Milano, since 2001, a network of Italian, French, Catalan, Spanish and media hacktivists, rank-and-file unions, self-run and squatted youth centres, critical mass bikers, radical networks, student groups, syndicalist collectives, immigrants associations, assorted communes, greens, anarchos, gays and feminists have given life to a May Day parade, taking place, or took place, on the afternoon of May the 1st. Whose participation and meaning has grown tremendously from 5,000 to 50,000 people, thereby triggering many urban actions and social conflicts that are spreading among young temps, part-timers, freelance and contract workers, researchers and teachers, service and culture workers all around Europe.
May Day in Oceania and East Asia. In Sydney, a May the 1st Reclaim the Streets was attacked by the police in Erkensville. A Sunday May Day rally attracted 1,000 people. In Melbourne, anarchists held a picnic at the 8-hour day monument and attended a march by 500 workers on May the 1st, while the traditional Sunday march attracted 400 people. On Friday night, Melbourne Critical Mass ended with a Reclaim the Streets party at the busy intersection between the 8-hour day monument and Trades Hall. Wollongong and Adelaide had Sunday marches of about 300 people each. In Perth, 50 activists reclaimed the streets, while 1,500 trade unionists attended the Labour Day public holiday rally and festival in Brisbane on Monday. Across Tasmania, May Day protests were reported in Christchurch, Dunedin and Wellington. In the Philippines, the Arroyo administration offered freebies to workers, while workers and activists celebrated Labour Day with militant rallies, including thousands attending a rally in Manila. In South Korea, 20,000 workers, mostly members of the militant Korean Confederation of Trade Unions, gathered at a downtown Seoul park, demanding the government retract its promise to send more than 3,000 soldiers to Iraq. According to the corporate media reports, about 20,000 workers and labour activists marched in Bangkok. 50,000 participated in May Day events in the Vladivostok region, and about 50,000 people demonstrated in Japan. And now we're going to a track. It's an oldie. It's PJ Harvey, Sheila Nagig.
I've been trying to show you over and over. Look at these, my childbearing hips. Look at these, my ruby red, ruby lips. Look at these, my work strong arms, and you've got to see my bottle full of charm. I lay it all at your feet. You turn around and say back to me. He says, see you again. You exhibitionist.
now more from May Day. Now we have a timeline from the Indie Media Ireland website of what happened on Saturday, May the 1st, in Dublin, around following all the press hysteria.
During the day, there were really good-natured marches throughout Dublin. I don't have the exact details in front of me. But in the evening, there was a march to Phoenix Park where the new member states and the old member states were having a banquet. It was a noise protest, and you'll see from the timeline that they didn't actually get anywhere near it. 8:40... the march was surrounded by riot police. As it got within, I don't know, a mile or so of the banquet, 8:40, water cannons deployed. This is covered by some live audio in the in today's outro that came from the Irish Indie Media site. 8:45, crowd are standing ground booing water cannon and Gardaí. Gardaí are the Irish police. Second water cannon is deployed shortly after that. 8:50, RUC out, out, out being chanted. This was a reference because the Gardaí borrowed the water cannon from the Northern Irish police. 8:55, last warning given. Protesters city on ground taking force of cannons. Several people were quite badly injured by this. Spokespeople from the DGN and AEIP pleading with protesters to leave, but they're not. Just after nine, the crowd moves back. People throwing stuff over heads of frontline protesters. Report from medic of two bad head wounds from baton charge. Apparently, the Gardaí weren't letting people with any injuries into the local hospitals. 10:30, the crowd heading back into Dublin past the Joy, which is one of the biggest prisons in Dublin. Excerpt. When the demonstration was close to the police, there was a call from the block near the front that the police were stopping the demo and people would try and continue. If anyone didn't want to take part, they should move back. Sometime later, the block linked up and moved to push against the Yellow Jackets. Little was thrown at this point, some placards and cans. At about 11:15 that evening, Garda statements say that some of those arrested are to come before a special night sitting in courts. Confrontational and provocative attitude being taken by police at 11 o'clock. The whole demo got back into the centre of town at about 11:30 and dispersed at about 12 o'clock.
Okay, and the critical mass story. Do we have that?
Yep.
Wicked. Reclaim the streets in Dublin. A few hundred people gathered at the top of O'Connell Street, the starting point of the RTS party, with people drumming. The main crowd took to the street cheering, the atmosphere really positive. The police approached a blue van on the edge of the crowd, who chanted, "Let them go." Eventually it made its way to the middle of the crowd. A sound system was set up out of the van and music kicked off to a huge cheer from the crowd. By 4:20 p.m. the party was in full swing, the sound system blasting out and the crowd dancing away without any interference from those peeps in blue, or luminous jackets, depending on what they were wearing that day. At 5:45 p.m. two more sound systems joined the merry throng, which increased to around 600 people. At 6 p.m. an odd police manoeuvre took place at one end of the street. Party. Police withdrew vehicles, then drove back close to the third sound system. A green police van tried to slowly drive into the party, but people stood calmly in front of it whilst protecting the sound system. People continued dancing until 10 p.m. The old adage springs to mind, the best system is a sound system. And there was some May Day prisoner solidarity, a march to the local prison to demand Polly, a young London activist, to be released. She is held on bail of €2,000 in connection to the eviction of a Dublin squat on Tuesday the 27th of May. Protesters walked around the prison several times, shouting slogans of support, carrying a banner reading, "Our passion for freedom is stronger than your prisons."
Around 200 people attended the launch of Plymouth Unite Against Fascism on the May Bank Holiday. The free outdoor festival was held in West Hoe Park, Plymouth, with the cooperation of various trade unions, Plymouth City Council, the Respect Coalition and other groups. DJs, live bands and speakers entertained the crowd, while various stalls were doing a brisk trade in leaflets, badges, stickers, t-shirts and of course plenty of food and booze. A particular highlight came when two WNP members, having been thrown off the paper selling pitch by anti-fascists the previous day and their papers having been destroyed, hid nearby until spotted and openly pointed out by some of the speakers. Lots of jeers, shouts of scum and plenty of two-finger salutes greeted their arrival, and they skulked off after pathetically waving a St. George's flag at the large crowd below. Events continued until around 7 p.m. that night, and plenty of money was raised and support offered for the Plymouth UAF. That's it.
Old pirates, yes they rob I, sold I to the merchant ship. Minutes after they took I from the bottomless pit. But my hand was made strong by the hand of the Almighty. We forward in this generation triumphantly. Won't you help to sing these songs of freedom? 'Cause all I ever had, redemption songs, redemption songs.
Emancipate yourselves from mental slavery. None but ourselves can free our minds. Have no fear for atomic energy, 'cause none of them can stop the time. How long shall they kill our prophet while we stand aside and look? Some say it's just a part of it. We got to fulfill the book. So won't you help to sing these songs of freedom? 'Cause all I ever had, redemption songs, redemption songs, redemption songs. Old pirates, yes they rob I,
sold I to the merchant ships.
Minutes after they took I
from a bottomless pit.
How long shall they kill our prophets
while we stand aside and look?
Yes, some say it's just a part of it. We've got to fulfill the book. So won't you help to sing these songs of freedom? 'Cause all I ever had, redemption songs.
All I ever had,
redemption songs. These songs of freedom, songs of freedom.
And that was Johnny Cash and Joe Strummer doing Redemption Song. And now we have some stories concerning Iraq.
Filipino anti-war activists disrupted the presentation of a visiting Iraqi Governing Council, IGC, minister in a business forum, calling her a collaborator and an illegitimate representative of the Iraqi people. The forum, entitled Rebuilding Iraq, Challenges and Opportunities for Businesses, was organised by the Asian Institute of Management, a graduate school for businesses, and the German foundation Konrad Adenauer Stiftung. It was attended mostly by academics and businessmen. An IGC minister for the public works, Nesrin Berwari, stood up to approach the rostrum, four women members of the newly formed Anti-Occupation Coalition Iraq Solidarity Campaign Philippines held up placards saying IGC illegitimate and IGC equals American puppets. Two other members tried to unfurl a banner that read, "Collaborators not welcome in Manila," but they were quickly accosted by the hotel security personnel. The placards were also confiscated. The activists then stood up and filed out of the room, chanting, "IGC illegitimate US puppets." They were chased out of the room by the security personnel, then joined around 150 other members of the coalition who had massed up outside the conference venue to denounce the IGC minister's visit. Panelists, which included former Philippine Finance Secretary Roberto de Ocampo, were visibly surprised and flustered. Senatorial candidate Amina Razul, an AIM fellow who was directly responsible for inviting Bawari, dismissed the protesters as fringe elements, even as past surveys showed the majority of Filipinos opposed the invasion of Iraq. Bawari's visit came in the wake of the death of a Filipino worker in Iraq, the first casualty among the 3,000 workers based there. Ms. Bawari has no right to speak on behalf of the Iraqis because she was chosen by the United States, not her people, said Rusty Deliso of San Lacas, one of the organisers of the action. More importantly, she has no right talking about business opportunities in Iraq because legitimate economic policies still have to be put in place by a sovereign and independent Iraqi government. We Filipinos, like the Iraqis, are very hospitable and gracious hosts, said Millet Morante, one of the women who disrupted the meeting. But like the Iraqis who do not welcome the occupying forces, we Filipinos do not welcome collaborators in our country. The IGC is the body established by the United States as the temporary governing entity of Iraq. Its 24 members were all chosen by the United States. A researcher who's just come back from the one-month stay in Baghdad working with the Iraq International Occupation Watch Center underscored the illegitimacy of the Iraq Governing Council. When I was in Iraq, many of the Iraqis I spoke to think the IGC is a big joke, said Dosina. This has been confirmed by a Gallup survey showing that 75% of Iraqis believe that the IGC members merely follow the dictates of the United States, as well as a BBC survey showing that Iraqis trust the hated Saddam regime more than trusted some of the IGC members.
Okay, back to this country concerning Iraq. Monday, 26th of April, protesters put Iraq privatisation on trial. On the first day of the Iraq Procurement Conference 2004, which is an international business expo dedicated to the privatisation of Iraq, two female human rights activists, Eva Jakovits, and who's recently returned from 8 months solidarity work in Iraq, and community filmmaker Penny Quinton, walked into the host venue twice unhindered. Security was surprisingly slack given the UK's high terror alert status and that representatives from the Coalition Provisional Authority, CPA, the Iraq Governing Council, plus arms dealers Raytheon and private security firm Erinus, already attacked by the Iraqi resistance in Baghdad, were in attendance. On re-entry through a wide open unguarded back door, they unfurled a banner in the main lobby written in Arabic and Polish stating UK, US and Poland partners in crimes against humanity. Referring to the delegates as collaborators, they declared the conference an affront to those struggling under continual attack, both social and physical, from the occupation. Entrenched poverty, exploitation and occupation sanctioned neo-Baathism in Iraq. Their protests also aimed to honour the estimated 1,500, that's a local figure, dead in the enduring Fallujah massacre. The two were forcibly ejected and charged with aggravated trespass for disrupting a lawful event. The accused will be challenging their charge, represented by Maverick civil liberties lawyer Jim Nicker, on the grounds that the conference itself is unlawful as it is based on occupation orders which have forced a free market economy on the people of Iraq in violation of international law on the prohibition of destruction of state or social property under the Geneva Conventions 1949, and privilege and usufruct under the Hague Regulations of 1907, to which both the UK and US are signatories. In a leaked memo dated March 26, 2003, UK Attorney General Lord Peter Goldsmith advised Prime Minister Blair that in his view, the imposition of major structural economic reforms would not be authorised under international law. Jekowitz and Quinton will be appearing in Highbury Corner Magistrates Court, Holloway Road, N7, at 10 a.m. on May 19th.
Phew. Spearhead, the company which puts on the biannual Dicey Arms Fair, has moved offices. After a year of covert night actions, including one where the paint stains are still visible, as well as pickets and occupation, Spearhead Exhibitions Limited have vacated Apex Tower and moved in with their parent company at Reed Exhibitions. At the Spearhead offices, the Apex Tower, New Morden, signs on the front windows stated that Spearhead had moved out, and one of the protesters was shown the empty 8th floor office space to prove, excuse me, they had really gone. In the afternoon, there was a loud, thanks to Samba, and colourful protest at Reed in Richmond, which drew a lot of attention from passers-by as well as Reed employees. So, Spearhead's new address is Oriel House, 26 The Quadrant, Richmond, and I'm sure they'd like to hear from you. And now we're moving to a track.
Tonight,
Okay, Privacy International invites for a public meeting on ID cards in London on the 19th of May, while The Economist warns that the real threat to privacy comes from government databases. This is from the Privacy International website. The government has introduced draft legislation for a national identity card. The card system will cost at least £3 billion and is likely to become an essential part of life for everyone residing in the UK. If the draft legislation is accepted by Parliament, everyone will be required to register for a card. Biometric scans of the face, fingers and eye will be taken. Personal details will be stored in a central database. A unique number will be issued that will become the basis for the matching of computer systems. The proposed card may be required to access vital public services and to receive criminal and civil offences, including provision for unlimited financial penalty and up to 10 years imprisonment. A public meeting about these proposed ID cards will be held in London on May the 19th at 13:30 to 1700 hours at the Old Theatre, London School of Economics, Houghton Street, London WC2. The meeting's organised by Privacy International in association with Liberty, State Watch, stand.org.uk and the Foundation for Information Policy Research, hosted by the Department of Information Systems of the London School of Economics. For more information on this event, please visit www.privacyinternational.org/conference. Meanwhile, The Economist warns on April the 29th that databases are more worrying than ID cards. The paper states, ID cards are the wrong focus for worries about threats to privacy. They have been in use for years in most European countries without leading to any notable abuses. What's more, ID cards are just a small but visible manifestation of a wider and more troubling trend. It continues with a dark vision for an Orwellian future. The wider trend that needs watching is the computerization of the state. The government is building huge electronic databases containing information about people's tax payments, employment status, educational record, benefit claims, health, criminal activities and family relationships, not to mention the suspicions that intelligent agencies may have about them. It has access to CCTV film of them, and if road pricing comes in, it will track their movements in cars. Finally, the article expresses the need for a more data rights for citizens, and the best way to deal with the increasing power that databases give the government is to balance it with a commensurate power for citizens. The Data Protection Act goes some way towards doing that, but not far enough. The government still has too much power to withhold information, and there is no clear regime for determining which bits of government have access to information held by other ministries and agencies. So, watch that space.
And from data to oceans, North Atlantic whaling. As the planet's oceans are depleted by fish and the growing human population, the deadly remnants of the fishing industry and increased ship traffic continue to threaten life in the sea. Along with the renewal of once outlawed hunting by nations like Norway and Japan, the ocean's whales now suffer from collisions with ships and humanity's waste as well. A recent incident involving the entanglement of a young North Atlantic right whale named Kingfisher off the coast of Florida in the Atlantic is a sobering reminder of this ecological crisis. Less than 300 North Atlantic right whales remain, and with the species hovering on extinction, the loss of even one healthy breeding whale is a major concern. There are a few whale rescue programs in operation, but they fight an uphill battle against the massive amount of ship traffic and discarded or lost fishing line and debris. Some of the lines are miles long and can strangle and or deeply lacerate whales and other ocean dwellers. Some solutions for protecting whales, such as underwater sanctuaries, changing the shipping lanes and instituting hunting bans, are relatively viable. However, such programs depend on effective enforcement as well as goodwill on the part of participating nations, something not always present. In the eyes of many environmental activists and radical ecologists, fishing and whaling operations from nations like Norway, Japan or Spain are morally akin to the pirates of old. In fact, the direct action organisation Sea Shepherd has confronted some of these ships on the high seas in daring actions, even ramming some of their ships. But unless more effective actions are made by governments to protect whales, it will be left up to activists to do what they can directly to address the problem. More info on this, www.whales.greenpeace.org.
Thousands of activists and organisers around the western US will converge in San Francisco from 3rd to the 9th of June to shut down the corporate takeover of basic life needs. While Savannah, Georgia will be the focus of G8 protests on the East Coast, the West Coast G8 demonstrations will target the biotech industry's largest meeting of lobbyists and executives happening concurrently in San Francisco. However, this mobilisation is much bigger than biotech. Organisers have put out a call to not only target the meetings, but to reclaim the city of San Francisco from the corporate oligarchs and return it to the people. They plan actions that will create free local food sources and community gathering spaces, as well as actions that will bring together groups working for global, environmental and racial justice. One focal point of the Reclaim the Commons mobilisation will be to shut down the biotech industry meeting. The most widely discussed aspects of biotechnology relate to its incorporation into foods that humans consume and biological weapons. We live in a world where tomatoes can be manipulated to contain antifreeze genes, and every cell of a corn plant can be engineered to contain toxic pesticides. We live in a world where Terminator technologies can create plants incapable of producing fertile seeds, and where those plants are being shoved down the throats of developing nations in order to make them more dependent on buying seeds. June the 8th, the opening day of the G8 meetings in Georgia, will be a day of mass action against the corporate empire.
And the Zapatista refugees returned to Zinakatan. An impressive convoy of around 50 vehicles escorted 102 families of Zapatista refugees back to their homes in Zinakatan on Sunday, the 25th of April. The families had been forced to flee for their lives after the armed attack on the Zapatista demonstration near Zinakatan, Chiapas, on the 10th of April. 200 Mexican and international observers answered the call from the Zapatista Committee of Good Government for the highlands of Chiapas and accompanied the returning refugees. A similar number of Zapatistas, all wearing their trademark balaclavas, journeyed from different autonomous municipalities of the Chiapas highlands to ensure that their fellow Zapatistas regained their homes.
And before we go into our outro, which is a music mix, kind of punky, it came from the radio.indymedia.org website. Was specially mixed by somebody in the States, but I've cut it down a bit and I've put some audio from a video that came from the Dublin May Day, the confrontation with the police. So there's a couple of minutes mixed in there. And announcements. The Cannabis Festival, which was due for this Saturday in Brockwell Park, has been postponed until Saturday the 5th of June due to the park being waterlogged. The forecast is rain and thunder over the next few days, so after a meeting with the Parks Department on Tuesdays, the organisers have been forced to postpone the event. Nothing has changed apart from the date. Check out www.thecannabisfestival.co.uk. Okay, so that's not happening on Saturday, but on Saturday, the European Creative Forum presents Visions of Another World. Saturday, May the 8th, 12 noon till 1 a.m, Area 10, Peckham. It's behind Peckham Library, with artivists, the Area 10 Artists Collective, UK ESF Culture Working Group. ESF is the European Social Forum. Live music and acts, ESF workshops, including shooting and editing video, creative financing, all sorts of stuff. Film and video forum, art and exhibition forum. There's a belly dancing workshop if anybody's interested. And loads of other stuff. Virtual flash mob, I don't know.
Get down there and have fun.
Yeah. And on Sunday, Occupational Hazard 3, Squatter Sunsplash Festival in St. Agnes Place, Kennington, including the Inner Terrestrials, Dead Silence, Syndicate Band, Naked Ruby, Freaks Union, and a whole bunch of others. Nearest tube to that is Kennington. And we go to our outro, and it's goodbye from me.
And it's goodbye from me.
And goodbye from me.
And have fun on the streets. Bye-bye.
And stay safe.
Subversive music for dangerous times. My Harold Skidmark Bob, who transfer makes a radically independent, uncensored audio insurrection. That I can send, pirate, the devil. Please stand by.
I wanna smash it off.
Pushing young girl around. over this country.
What the
has it become? So this is the day they welcome all the accession countries. Bring them up to the line. What did they do? Water cannon them. Charge them. I know one thing for sure. They can't push us all the way back into town.
So what do you think of Fortress Europe?
They're pushing us back now.
This is the fastest piece of camera you've ever possibly seen in your life.
War is terror. Terror is Irish police.
Oh, to smash it up.
Subversive music for dangerous times.
Assembly will be arrested. You have two You're listening to Indie Media Radio London. Don't hate the media, be the media.
And this one's going out to the old Black Bloc and the breakaway marches that happen in demonstrations. It's a track called Black Mask. Once again, thank you for listening and thank you for resisting.
You've been listening to Indie Media Radio on Resonance 104.